So the special transmission, the transmission of the living spirit of Buddhism from teacher to disciple, from, as it were, mind to mind, from heart to heart. So how did this transmission begin? We saw how the scriptural transmission began. So how did this transmission begin? The transmission of the living spirit of Buddhism from the time of the Buddha down even to the present day. There are several accounts. Perhaps the best known is from a Chinese source, a Chinese translation of a Sanskrit text, which describes how the Buddha was once in the midst of the congregation of disciples. Very often the Buddha just sat silently in the midst of the disciples also being silent, they just sat, sometimes meditating, sometimes just sitting, but at peace and serene. So on one of these occasions, it is said, the Buddha didn't say anything, didn't give any teaching, apparently. He simply took a golden flower and he held it up in front of the assembly. Now there's a meaning to this, obviously, but nobody understood the meaning. They were all quite advanced, all quite developed. They weren't quite as advanced, weren't quite as developed as that. When the Buddha held up the golden flower, they didn't know what it meant, what he was getting at. But there was one disciple who understood. His name was Mahakashyapa, or Great Kashyapa, to distinguish him from the Lesser Kashyapa. So when the Buddha held up the golden flower, he understood. And because he understood, he smiled. One might say the smile is very significant in Buddhism. If you see any image of the Buddha, any figure of the Buddha, however crude, however clumsily made, there's a smile. The smile of the Buddha. The smile of enlightenment. So Mahakashyapa smiled. Because what the Buddha understood, he had understood. By the Buddha's holding up of that golden flower, he knew what was in the Buddha's mind. His mind had, as it were, become one with the mind of the Buddha. He'd become enlightened. So in this way, there was a transmission, a spiritual transmission, from the mind of the Buddha, the heart of the Buddha, through the medium of the golden flower, to the mind and the heart of Mahakashyapa. So he smiled. This is what one means by a spiritual transmission. Nothing was said. No scripture, no ordination, no doctrine. Just the holding up of the flower, the understanding, and the smile. And the two, the Buddha and the disciple, Mahakashyapa, embraced, as it were, in a common reality. Then what did the Buddha say? The Buddha said to the assembly, or in the midst of the assembly, I am the owner of the eye of the wonderful Dharma, truth, or reality, which is Nirvana, which is the mind, the absolute, unconditioned mind, the mystery of reality and non-reality, the gate of transcendental truth. I now hand it over to Mahakashyapa. When he said those words, of course it had already been handed over. It was handed over when the Buddha held up the golden flower, and when Mahakashyapa smiled. But this is what the Buddha said. So this is the transmission, or this was the transmission. It's very difficult, of course, for us to explain, for us to understand what happened then. Or we might say that what happened was that there was a direct, as it were, communication of truth, of reality, from one mind to another. The one, an enlightened mind, the other, an almost, a practically enlightened mind, requiring just the merest touch or suggestion, as it were, for it to become fully enlightened. Sometimes even a word, even a gesture, even a look is enough. You know very well when two people are on the same sort of level of understanding, when there's a very close connection, almost a communion between them, when they understand each other very well. Sometimes if one just gives a little sign, or just a look, or just a smile to the other, it's enough to convey a whole world of meaning. So it's the same, in a sense, even on the highest spiritual plane. just the holding up of the flower was enough to spark off in Mahakashyapa that final response through which he awoke, as it were, at last to full enlightenment. So this was the Buddha's spiritual transmission to Mahakashyapa of the living spirit of his teaching, of reality. So Mahakashyapa transmitted in the same way to his disciple Ananda, who had been the Buddha's disciple during the Buddha's lifetime but hadn't gained enlightenment then. Ananda transmitted to his disciple, he to his disciple. In this way, there came into existence a succession, a series of 22 Indian patriarchs, as they're called, of the Zen school, or the Zen sect, each of them inheriting in turn the eye of the Dharma, as it is called, the truth, the living spirit of Buddhism. The last of these, the 22nd, was the famous Bodhidharma, who we are usually told took Zen to China, as though it was a little suitcase he had with him and went with it to China. What he really took, of course, was the living spirit of Buddhism embodied in his own person. So after Bodhidharma, there were 6 Chinese patriarchs, Chinese inheritors of the eye of the Dharma. The last of them, the 6th of them, was the famous Hui Ning, as we nowadays call him. We used to call him Wai Lang, 2 different Chinese pronunciations of the same characters. After Hui Ning, or Wai Lang, there were many lines of disciples, no main one, 5 important lines, of which 2 continue, even down to the present day, in China, to some extent, and also in Japan. So all these lines, all these schools, all these teachers springing from these traditions are concerned above all else with transmission, not just of ordination, not just of scripture, not just of doctrine or teaching, the transmission of the living spirit of Buddhism, the flame, if you like, of Buddhism, from mind to mind and from heart to heart. And this transmission usually takes place, one might say, on a high level of spiritual communication between the master and the disciple, usually within a context, as it were, of meditation and study. It's not that the ordination, the scriptures and the doctrine are not important, but they're important only as means to a certain end. And the end is the ultimate spiritual experience, which we in Buddhism call enlightenment. As I said a little while ago, if that experience, if that reality, as it were, is not communicated, is not transmitted, then all the rest, the ordination, the scriptures, the doctrine, the culture, the art, is, as it were, a waste of time, at best, a sort of cultural curiosity. So Zen, we may say, as it were, specializes in the transmission, not just of the teaching of meditation, but in the transmission of the living spirit of Buddhism, with the help especially of its own particular type of meditation. And it's for this reason, in this sense, that Zen is spoken of as a special transmission. A transmission not just of the ordinary ordination, scripture, doctrine, but the transmission, a special transmission of that living spirit of Buddhism, without which all the rest is, as it were, dead.